We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As usual, the information that's being provided is updated as of the time it was added to the presentation. And we were rapidly changing this based on some new information that was received just a few minutes before we started. So we were making some changes up here, and that's why we're a little delayed. It says 2 p.m., but as of when we released it at around 2:40, there are 802 positive cases from all labs in Erie County. That includes the Public Health Lab, Quest, LabCorp, Flint Lab. I see that tests are being done at other labs across upstate New York, including the University of Rochester, lab that's available at ECMC, lab that's available through Roswell Park. And we do believe that in the next week we should be getting more reagent and more test kits, so we'll be able to continue to do the testing that we have with regards to individuals in the community, which are based on the state protocols. Unfortunately, I have to announce that two more people have died since the number that we announced yesterday. We had a big jump yesterday from 12 to 19, and unfortunately another two have died. So once again, I offer my deepest condolences on behalf of the Erie County family and all the Erie County residents to those who've perished as a result of the coronavirus and COVID-19. We are very worried because we're seeing increased numbers, as I'll get to in a moment, with regards to hospitalization. But we are, at least can say that 131 people have recovered. Thank you to those who've worked very hard on those individuals, whether they recovered at home or were potentially in a hospital. But I am glad to see that 131 have recovered. 650 people are in isolation, whether it's at home or a hospital. And as of last evening, there were 179 individuals that were hospitalized in the hospitals in Erie County directly associated with COVID-19. 90 of those were in the ICU unit, and 79 of those had an airway assist, and that number keeps on growing. It was just about a week ago, it was about 30, and it went up to 50. That ICU airway assist also includes ventilators. There's a lot of discussion about what the governor announced earlier today. I have since had conversations with the governor's staff, as well as a conversation with each of the CEOs of the hospital units in Erie County, Jody LeMayo of Kaleida, Mark Sullivan of Catholic Health, and Tom Crocioci of ECMC. And it is my understanding, based on those conversations, that all of our ventilators are being used right now in the hospitals. There is not a single person who's going to have a ventilator taken away in Erie County to send downstate. We are all in this together, but someone's life downstate is no different than the life up here. We're going to work very hard to protect life in our hospitals, whether it's downstate or upstate, but our ventilators are not going to be taken away from the use up here to go downstate. I think the governor noted that there's been an increase in use in hospitalization and ICU in the Buffalo area, so he is aware of this. I know his staff is aware of this. There may be other places in New York State where they don't have the outbreak or the hospitalizations to the same degree we do here, but we need our ventilators, and they're not going anywhere. It's as simple as that. Erie County, there was a question that came in earlier. Actually, a lot of questions came in. What's in our strategic ventilator stockpile for the county? And the answer is we don't have a strategic stockpile of ventilators. We never have had. We do have PPEs that are used by Erie County, and we share those with others as we get more from the healthcare field. But Erie County does not have a ventilator. Erie County Medical Center Corporation is a separate entity today. It has been since 2004. It is not part of Erie County government. It is a separate hospital organization. run by its own board with its own leadership. As I said, Tom Krichowski is the president and CEO. I talked to Tom earlier today, and based on the conversations I had with the leadership of the hospitals, I believe that ventilators are currently in use and in patients' rooms, and we are not going to see ventilators that are being used here in Erie County be shipped elsewhere. There's not a single person who's going to have a ventilator taken off of them just so it could be used elsewhere. The actual number of ventilators per hospital and so forth, I don't have that data. You'd have to talk to the hospital units because it is not something that we keep track of normally. While we have hospitalization and ICU bed info, including airway assist, we don't have all of the information on every ventilator that's being used at any moment, and you can imagine it changes as individuals come off ventilators for whatever reason, or individuals have to go on ventilators. So those questions would be best directed to the hospital units, but based on the conversations I had and the governor's office awareness of our need here, there's not going to be any movement of ventilators from Erie County downstate when we are using them and needing them right now. COVID-19 online map. We've certainly seen that, and we're going to have a new layer, a new map, so to speak, effective Monday. We've been identifying based on towns, but we've had a lot of questions regarding zip code. So we will be effective on Monday, also including a layer. Instead of looking at it based on town, you can look at Erie County based on zip code. So people will get a better understanding of what may be happening in their particular neighborhood. Now, zip codes are not perfect. For example, the 14221 zip code, which most people assume is Williamsville, because it is the village of Williamsville, also includes Amherst, includes parts of Cheektowaga, and it even includes a small part of Clarence. There are zip codes on the east side of Buffalo that also include Cheektowaga. There are zip codes, the 14223, I believe it is, says Buffalo, but it's actually Tonawanda. So we're going to reveal that information. We should actually have that zip code information by the end of the day that we can release to the media. But the map will be updated effective next week so that people can see by zip code. And what they will see is what we've been saying all along. COVID-19, the coronavirus, is everywhere in Erie County. There's not a part of the city of Buffalo that doesn't have it. There's not every part of the community has it. And we just want people to understand that if you think you live in an area where COVID-19 isn't, it's there. You can see it from the town map. There's only two towns that technically do not have COVID-19 in them right now, Sardinia and Collins, based on confirmed cases, though we're pretty certain that there are actual cases in each of those towns at this point. We just haven't confirmed it yet. I'll turn it over to the doc to talk about some of the health-related issues.
So remember, thank you. So remember, if we believe that there is COVID-19 everywhere in our community, and that even includes the rural areas, so that means that we have to monitor ourselves for signs and symptoms of COVID-19 so that we will be able to take action and isolate ourselves. So symptoms that you should check for is a fever of 100.4 or greater. We know that some people with COVID-19 also have lower grade temperatures, so you should just check for any abnormal temperature and either a cough or shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. So those are classic signs and symptoms of COVID-19. However, we also know that people can present with other signs and symptoms of COVID-19, talking to my colleagues in the field and in the healthcare offices. So sometimes people can present with sweats or chills or extreme exhaustion or loss of sense or taste. So if you have like anything weird going on with your body, you should assume that you might be ill and you need to isolate yourself from other people around you to make sure that they don't get that same illness. Next, please. So if you develop symptoms again, you should isolate yourself from everybody in your household and don't go outside. And also you should make a, beforehand, you should have made a plan. So I'm asking everybody if they haven't already to make a plan about what you need to do to get things done in your house if you are in isolation. So if you are a caretaker of children or an elderly adult in your home or somebody with some disabilities and they rely on you for food, you should make a plan of like what you need to do to make sure they get them fed. Like, what are the community organizations out there? What are the neighbors that you can trust or family members? Where are the supermarkets that will deliver or food vendors that will deliver and the pharmacies? So again, that should be a plan that you have already. You know, put it, you know, take a picture, put it on your phone, you know, snap it to your refrigerator if that's what you would do to get information. But that should be a plan already, so you are ready to isolate if you need to in your home. And then again, if you have questions about your health, it's really important to call your healthcare provider. You know, don't go directly to their office and you think you need to go to the emergency department. If you call 1-1 or if you show up at the emergency department, you know, tell them beforehand. Call beforehand. Let them know that you're sick and you're worried you might have COVID-19. And so they can take the appropriate precautions to make sure that they have the appropriate personal protective equipment, and they'll usher you right back into an exam room so you won't expose our healthcare workers that we really need in the field, and also the other people in the emergency departments in the waiting room. Next. So I just want to call out to our snowbirds way down south, and for you know, people who are returning for any type of travel, that we really need you to stay at home. Any type of travel in the United States, outside the United States, or anywhere outside of Western New York is a risk for COVID-19 transmission. So you just really want to stay at home as much as you possible. Limit your errands to only essential travel, to the grocery store or to you know, to a place to get food or pharmacies. But remember, all those places deliver now, so really take advantage of that. And really want to limit your interactions with other people. So again, stay at home. And if you do need to go outside to grocery shop, you want to stay at least six feet away from other people. So when you if you're in a grocery store, if you're looking to go into an aisle in the grocery store, you want to make sure that it's clear or relatively clear, and try to keep your distance as much as possible. And then also, you might consider when you go grocery shopping, make sure it's off-peak hours to decrease the likelihood you'll come in contact with other people. And also, you want to consider wearing a mask and gloves just to protect yourself. So remember that when you touch something in the grocery store, you don't know what was on the hands of the last person that touched it. Remember, somebody stocks the shelves, so you want to make sure that you're as much protected as possible. So having gloves, if they're available, is a good thing to do. And then also, you want to make a plan that if you know, again, if you or somebody else in your household is sick, you know who to call, how to get groceries, how to get medicine, and have this plan in place already, because it will happen. If it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen in the near future. Remember, we're going to be in this for a long haul. Next. So, you know, I just want to talk about, we still have other problems in our community that have unfortunately persisted that we haven't been talking about, and we just want to make everybody aware that we're still struggling with overdose deaths in our community. So in this slide is looking at the number of suspected overdose deaths so far this year in January, February, and March, among both looking at non-fatal overdoses in blue and then fatal overdoses in red. And you can see that we're still seeing a lot of non-fatal overdoses, but recently in March, we've seen a tremendous number of fatal overdoses. So we haven't done the tox screens on many of those already. However, we know that there is fentanyl in everything in our community, and even if people think that they're taking cocaine or their cannabis or methamphetamines or anything or benzos, they can have and probably will have fentanyl in it. So people have to be prepared. So next slide, please. So we want to make sure that everybody has Narcan in place in case it's needed. So again, we have these Narcan boxes that we are happy to give places that are public for free of charge. You just have to call us at 858-7695, and we can put one of these Narcan boxes on your wall anywhere. So we're asking, please, any motels, hotels, restaurants, grocery stores, food pantries, pharmacies, any place that has a public face on it, where people may be going to collect something they need, or a place to say, please have a Narcan box in a public area where everybody can see it, because we can save their lives. And if it's empty, give us a call and we can supply you with more Narcan. So again, this is free of cost, an essential service of the county that we're still continuing. And even if you have a public place and you think, oh, this will never happen here, you never know. So again, we want to call out any place in Erie County, any business where people might be walking in, even our Walmart, or Target, any place that can be open. We really want to encourage you to get a Narcan box. It might save a life.
And the reason we're saying that is, I was just talking to Cheryl Moore, who's the program director of the Anti-Opioid Task Force, and with regards to these most recent ones, which includes one in April already, but the ones in March, not only is there an uptick, which we understand we kind of expected with the stress level, but we are seeing them in motels, in bathrooms, in supermarkets. So people are taking drugs, and she indicated it's everything, including pills like OxyContin and the like, where people are overdosing on those. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's just not somebody injecting a needle into their arm. It could be someone who's popping hydrocortone or OxyContin pills at a location in the public. So we are, and it's free, offering to all of these different types of organizations. Restaurants should be closed except for their staff. But the grocery stores, food pantries, motels, hotels, they still have people going there. And we are seeing, unfortunately, overdoses and deaths in those areas. These are not just occurring at home. They're actually occurring in locations in the public.
So thanks, Mark. So remember, restaurants are takeout and delivery only. We do not allow consumption of any food or drink on the premises. So it's Friday night, and I know that last weekend there were some incidents where restaurants were serving patrons at the bar while they were waiting for their takeout orders. So remember, this is not this is something that we will reinforce. It is not legal right now, so we want to make sure that everybody is aware there is no consumption of any beverages or food in Erie County restaurants. Also, if when people do go in to collect their food, they have to remember that they should try to stay at least 6 feet away from each other when they're in line to collect their food. I mean, a smart thing to do would be to give their cell phone number and wait in their car, and then the restaurant can give you a call when it's ready to come in and collect, so everybody can stay as far away from each other as possible. So vape shops, those have been deemed by the governor to be non-essential, so they all should be closed. And we will enforce closure of vape shops and restaurants that do not comply with these orders.
And the one thing I would note is we've definitely gotten reports that individuals who vape or smoke are more at risk to having serious conditions associated with COVID-19 than those that don't. And so if you are vaping, I understand you may be coming off cigarettes as a result of it, but your vaping, your smoking will put you more at risk to a hospitalization or severe illness if you do get and contract the coronavirus. The New York pause orders, of course, that was the governor's order, which talks about the closure of particular businesses and non-essential and essential personnel. There are complaints, a complaint line that can be called. It is not a county line, it's a state line. It's 1-833-789-0470, or you can click or fill out the link on the screen. We're not going to write that down, but the slides are being put on my Twitter and the county's Twitter page, and will be on our Facebook pages too, so you can get that link elsewhere. And then complaints about employers from employees, this is important, can be directed to the New York State Department of Labor. You see the link down there. We will put that online for everyone. These, of course, are confidential. So an employee that's afraid of making a complaint against their employer, they can do that by going to the link that will be available for you on our various pages, as well as eventually our website, coronavirus page. And then the call center, of course. 858-2929 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. High volume is expected. I was down in our various call centers, and we have a number of call centers, those that are directly for healthcare professionals and those for the general public. And the volume at various times is high, and other times it's not so bad. So I would just say if you are calling and getting a busy signal, just try again. You will get through, and we will be able to hopefully answer your question. If not, we'll direct you to the appropriate source. Once again, don't ask hypothetical questions. Our COVID-19 page at www.erie.gov/COVID-19 is updated on a daily basis, including our frequently asked questions page. So as we get questions that come into our COVID-19 call center or other places, we include it in our COVID-19 pages. So I think it's important for public to know that you don't have to call to get information. A lot of the information when people call, they'll call, and then our folks are in front of computer terminals, and they'll provide them the answer based on what's on our website, which is data that is provided by the Department of Health and others. So you may call to get an answer that you could get online anyway. And then, of course, the New York State Department of Health and the CDC have their own pages, which we've talked about repeatedly. Once again, the important resources associated with the COVID-19, including our erie.gov/COVID-19 page. It has the information that I know many people are looking for, so we just want people to utilize that as they go forth. We will just drop this down and go up here, just once again to look at the map. And as you can see, 802 confirmed cases, as the doctor noted, 650 which are active, 21 deaths, though thankfully 131 have recovered. In the bottom corner, we've had some people say, well, why aren't you listing the growth per day? We are. You can look at active cases, or you can look at confirmed cases and see that, yes, there were 802, and there was less the day before and less the day before. And then on Monday, we will have this also, but similar to that, where we have a confirmed cases and an active cases, we'll have another tab that you can click, and it'll give you the zip codes. So you can look at your zip code from where you live or where others live and see exactly how much you have per zip code. So that'll be online Monday, and hopefully we'll actually be able to provide that information to media and the general public by chart later today, so you will have the zip code numbers. The one thing we've noted is early on we were seeing a tremendous amount of cases in Amherst, Williamsville, North Buffalo, the Elmwood Village District, Delaware District. Now we're starting to see growth on the east side of Buffalo, in Cheektowaga, in Tonawanda. It's everywhere, folks. So just because you lived in an area where there weren't a whole lot of cases originally, you're starting to see it now, whether it's the east side of Buffalo or there's a few growth in Lackawanna. Hamburg's had some, but it's everywhere. So there's no place you can hide. With that, I just want to remind everybody that we work very hard. There are people here that are working incredible hours, doing the best that they can with information that is constantly changing. We are seeing the active cases increase because there is more testing going on in this community. Not only is Erie County testing, but others are testing. We are aware of a delay with Quest and LabCorp, such that Quest actually came out publicly and says it's delayed to the point where there are at least 4 or 5 days from when the test is being taken and delivered to Quest because of just the incredible demand that exists. Quest does not have a lab locally to perform the tests. Samples are taken in doctor's offices, and my understanding they're now shipping them to the Pittsburgh area to actually be analyzed. The local hospitals are doing analyzation, Erie County's doing analyzation, but Quest and LabCorp do not do analyzation locally. So if you are and got a test done by those organizations or was by your local private practice, you're probably not going to get the results for in a day or two. It may take a little longer due to the delay that Quest is having. We are hopeful. We've been informed by New York State we're going to be getting new reagents and samples, and I believe we've got a new extraction method which allows us to speed up the process. Doctor, would you like to talk about that?
Sure. Well, when we receive the specimens, they are they're swabs and that were collected from the person's inside their nose, and so we have to try to extract the RNA from those swabs. So in the past, that's been a manual process, and it's taken quite a while, and it's been labor intensive. And so now, thanks to New York State's Wadsworth Laboratory, we are going to be receiving equipment that will allow us to do this automatically instead of manually. So it will decrease the labor intensiveness, and it will allow us to run the tests faster, and hopefully we will be able to be more productive in getting these results out.
So while we'll have to see when the lab gets it how much faster, we do believe it will cut down the time, but we'll be able to do more tests per day at the lab. We still have a limitation on the number of sample kits that we have, and we're still limiting the sample kits to being taken to healthcare professionals, though most of the hospitals are doing internal testing of their patients as well as their staff. So when we talk about healthcare, we're talking about healthcare generally outside of the hospital, including nursing homes, doctor's offices, the like. We're also doing first responders, EMS, EMT, fire, law enforcement, police, jails. Now, I bring up the jails because we've had a lot of questions about jails. We do not have a documented case in either the Erie County Holding Center or the Erie County Jail, the holding center being downtown, the jail being in Alden. We do know of documented cases in the Wendy Correctional Facility, which is a New York State facility. I am not aware of any cases in the Collins Correctional Facility, which is the New York State Correctional Facility in the town of Collins, basically just north of the village of Gowanda. So, and if you see, we don't even have a case listed for Collins, and it would list in the town of Collins, because as you see, for the town of Alden here, there are 13 cases that have been identified. That includes Alden, the town, and the village. However, it's my understanding they are all related to the Wendy Correctional Facility. There are none in the Erie County Holding Center. There are none in the Erie County Jail and that I'm aware of, and I confirmed that earlier today with the Erie County Department of Health. So while there were some rumors out there about whether there was, there are not. And I also want to tamp down some rumors and some displays that we've seen in which there are accusations that we're testing individuals by where they live or by their wealth. And the answer is no and no. We are not discriminating based on where you live. We're not discriminating by race. We're not discriminating on anything like that. The tests are limited to that small subset in Erie County that we do through the public health lab. So any accusation that we're not testing on anybody in the east side of Buffalo or the west side of Buffalo is inaccurate. And I know, and you'll see that later today when the numbers are released, that there are individuals who've tested positive on the east side of Buffalo, on the west side of Buffalo, just like there is in South Buffalo, in North Buffalo, in Kaisertown, in Lackawanna, Cheektowaga, Amherst, Clarence, Orchard Park. We are testing people from across the community. We have seen growth in tests in the east side of Buffalo with regards to the positives. And that is a little concerning because there was almost no positive cases in the east side of Buffalo for almost the first, up until 10 days ago. I don't even know, it seems like it's going on forever now. But for the first 10 days to 2 weeks of testing that we were doing and getting results, we had almost no results that I know of. I informed the mayor of that. We were talking about that, how we were seeing no results in the east side of Buffalo. And very limited in the west side, but we did expect that to grow, and it has grown. So the message that I'm sending out to everyone is we do not discriminate on testing based on where you live, your race. We are doing testing based on the protocols as established by New York State because of the number of test kits we have and the samples that we can analyze per day. And when we release the numbers regarding zip codes, you'll find out more to see that we are testing individuals from across the community, and what you'll see are the testing that are positive. And I know that there are positive tests in almost every zip code, but not everyone, because of course Sardinia and Collins don't have a positive case. With that, I want to thank everyone for the work that they've done. I think it's very important that we all work together to get through this crisis. We are all one community, Erie County in Western New York. And one of the things that we are seeing, we showed a little on the screen earlier, is that when we talk about getting through this as a community, we're getting through it as a community in Western New York. The Erie County Department of Health Public Health Lab is analyzing results from other counties in Western New York. There are conversations going on between county officials in various counties. Last night I was on a conference call with other county officials across New York State. There were people from Genesee, Niagara County on that call, and we were talking about how we are cooperating. So there may be a dotted line on the map, and there may be different county governments, but we are all one in Western New York. We are working together to address this, and together we will get through it as long as we follow the rules. If we do not stop the spread of the coronavirus in our community, we will see, not that long from now, huge increases in hospitalization and, unfortunately, deaths. I think, based on what we're seeing regarding the growth of active cases, and what I'm very happy to say after talking with all of the CEOs, is we're kind of staying steady on hospitalization totals. However, with regards to beds that are open, but the hospitalizations for the coronavirus have gone up, and we are concerned because the ICU numbers are going up. But they're still in a position where we can handle it. If we do not stop the spread of the coronaviruses, we are going to have a tremendous increase of cases within the next 3 to 4 weeks. That's what our analysis shows, Doctor, right?
Yes, yes.
So we want everyone to understand that we need to continue with what we've been doing. It's no fun. I know you want to go out there. You want to go hang out with your buddies at the bar. You want to go get the kids' Little Leagues back up. They shut down, and they now would be starting, whether it's baseball or soccer. You can't do it. And we're getting stories still of individuals going out there and bringing their kids to do play dates where they're kicking the ball around. It's a terrible idea, folks. As we've shown in the past with regards to numbers, there are people under the age of 18 who've contracted the coronavirus. There are people under their children under the age of 5 who've contracted the coronavirus in Western New York. Anyone can catch it. It is a non-discriminatory illness. It doesn't care about your age, doesn't care about your race, doesn't care about your net wealth, what your religion is, your gender. So we want people to understand that you gotta be smart, and we're in this together, which means we're doing this to be our brothers and sisters keeper, to protect each other. If you don't have it, you don't want to get it. If you have it, you don't want to spread it. And depending on what your symptoms are, if you have it, you may not even realize you have it. And I saw a great picture not too long ago, and it was like three guys at a bar laughing. One of them showed the guy in the middle saying, has coronavirus and doesn't know it. The next person next to him said, has an underlying health condition regarding the heart and doesn't know it. And the person next to it said, going over to grandma's house later. Well, guess what? The person who doesn't know it probably just gave coronavirus to the person that has the underlying health condition, potentially putting them at risk for death, and the other person is going to go over to grandma's house later. Can't have any of that, folks. The bars and restaurants are closed other than takeout and delivery, but don't have the private parties at your house. We've heard of cases of that. Don't do that. It's no fun to stay at home. Got to watch TV, read a book, record a video. I don't care what it is, a staged reading of your favorite play, whatever it might be. Do it safely at home. Don't congregate with others. And we'll get through this. With that, we'll open it up to questions from the media. So I need every, are they unmuted? And if so, I ask them to unmute your lines. Okay, so the first question will go to Channel 7. I believe Charlie Specht is on. Oop, let me increase this, Charlie. Hang on a second. Okay, go ahead.
You know, we've heard from a lot of employees at some of the larger factories, DuPont and Dunlop, that they are either being, you know, forced to work, or the factories are in the process of reopening up. And I know that it's not your decision, it's the state's decision on what businesses are essential, but does it, as county executive, does it bother you that because of these factories, you have essentially hundreds, if not thousands, of Erie County residents going back and forth to work every day in factories where they're making things like countertops and motorcycle tires and that sort of thing?
I'd prefer they weren't. I don't have the power to stop them because they have, my understanding, exemptions from New York State. Sumitomo Rubber, what used to be Dunlop, I actually have a friend that works there. So I know people who work there. They have informed us that they have received an exemption and they're no longer making motorcycle tires, but they're making truck tires for the trucks that are transporting goods, which at least I was glad to hear they weren't making motorcycle tires, because I don't think anybody's going out to buy new bikes at this point. Corian being made at the DuPont plant. I believe the plant is still shut down. I do not think that would qualify, but if they get an exemption from New York State, I can't stop it. And while New York has authorized local government to enforce the pause orders, if they get an exemption, there's nothing we can do.
Is there something that these workers are going to work and then they're coming home, going into their communities? Is there something more that these communities should be doing, knowing that, you know, these people working here are at that much greater of a risk by going into work every day and doing exactly what?
Well, they should. I would hope that their employers are providing PPEs, including masks. We've started providing masks to our staff. The staff that's sitting in this room are wearing masks, and when they're around the building, and truthfully, every person in this room we've been with along for weeks now, but when they come into the building, our staff, including the Rath building and other county locations, are being provided at least two of these surgical masks, which are not N95 masks. I would hope that, and just go backtrack, if you see me walking in the building, you see me with this on just like everyone else is on. We're not wearing it for the press conference, but we are recommending that employers, if you are in a situation where you have mass employment, hundreds of people potentially at a time working on assembly line, they should be providing these. Doctor, you want to add anything to that?
Also, we recommend another thing they can do is, you know, make sure that they stay away from their coworkers, hopefully at least 6 feet. And also, when those workers return home, they should automatically just put their clothes in the washing machine and wash their clothes, because again, you don't know what could have become attached to their clothes, like some virus or bacteria or whatever it is. So it's a good idea just to remove your clothes, put them in the wash, so again, that won't expose other people in the house. And again, wash your hands as much as you can.
Use this. Channel 4, WIVB-TV, are you on? I guess not. Channel 2, WGRZ-TV, are you on? I guess not. Spectrum News, Sarah Verhage. Somebody on from Spectrum, they weren't on earlier. No, we're not getting to know. Buffalo News, I believe Maki Becker may be on. If not, I think Ellie Ingersoll is on from Investigative Post.
Hi, County Executive, how are you?
I'm hanging in there like we all are.
So I was wondering, we've talked to people all over the state and downstate regarding measures that could be put into action today to address issues in the jail, and you could actually get people out today. Have you considered using your authority as the county executive to create a furlough program to get people out who are sentenced, such as what they did downstate in New York City?
My office has been in, first off, no one has reached out to me from the sheriff's office or other organizations directly to me, but our office has been in touch with the district attorney's office and others. And it's my understanding, based on information that was provided to me about 2 hours ago, that there were no violent offenders in either the holding center. They're all violent offenders in the holding center and jail. The non-violent individuals have been released under court rules. So the individuals that are in the holding center or the jail are those who are either pending a violent crime or have been convicted of a violent crime. And those individuals, and the nonviolent, I've been informed by the district attorney's office, are no longer there.
Well, that's because of bail reform. That's why they're no longer there. But the people who are serving sentences in the holding center, there are 165 of them currently, and the majority of which are on nonviolent misdemeanors, and they're serving sentences of less than a year. That is what Mayor de Blasio did downstate. He enacted the furlough statute so he could release those people. Is that something that you have considered?
If they're truly nonviolent, we consider it, but I've had no request, no proposal come to my office. We've been working with the district attorney's office on this, and we've been assured by the district attorney that there are nonviolent, and the definition of nonviolent varies, but there are the nonviolent individuals have been released. That's why we've also noted that there are no cases in our jail or our holding center. because we don't want people to think that it's a location where people are going to get COVID-19. There are no cases at this point. I don't know if they're safer in the jail protecting them from COVID-19 or not in the public. I can't answer that question other than to say COVID-19 is everywhere in Erie County except for two small towns where it probably is there, but we have no cases right now in the holding center or jail. Next question, please. We're going back if there, Charlie is still there, and then we'll take some to the public. Charlie, is Spectrum News there?
WBEN here.
Oh, Mike Baggerman. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my question here. Listen, regarding ventilators, if someone in Erie County that has coronavirus no longer needs a ventilator, whether they die or they are recovered from coronavirus to a point, it would free one up, albeit temporarily. Would the National Guard be able to take the ventilator to New York City under the governor's executive order that you're aware of?
I believe all ventilators are in use currently. I mean, it's possible that a ventilator could be removed, but there's other people who need the ventilators here. It's not like there's no people that are needing it. There are needs in each of the hospital units, including those that have multiple locations, like Kaleida Health has Buffalo General, has Children's, it also has Millard Fillmore Suburban. ECMC only has the one location, but Catholic Health, of course, has multiple locations. And my understanding is if they have a need at St. Joe's, because it's now the COVID-19 hospital, and they have an extra ventilator or two at Buffalo Mercy, they'd move that from Buffalo Mercy to St. Joe's because the need's in the community. Is the Buffalo News on or not?
Spectrum News is on. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I had to switch phones, I guess. So this is for Dr. Burstein. So Governor Cuomo today acknowledged that numbers are growing in Erie County, and it could be in the next hot spot in the state. Are the numbers being reported by you today tests that have been pending, and how many new tests have actually been administered in Erie County in the last 24 hours?
We actually, our PIO has already given that testing information to Buffalo News, so I don't think I need to answer that question right now. But we are testing individuals that meet our criteria, our essential workers, especially our healthcare providers, and we're partnering with Kaleida Health to get everybody tested who needs to be tested. So our people who work in our EMTs and ambulances, the people that are our police force, our people that work in fire, so all our essential personnel, including our healthcare workers, are being tested. And so we report the data as we receive it from Eclairs. And the New York State reports all the data that about all the positives and negatives that that we have. So again, we get the data from New York State once a day, and that's what we have. We report that out.
Okay, that could just be sent out to all the media too. And then, is work being put into releasing zip codes just to dispel rumors, or is it actually necessary, in your opinion?
Go ahead. Well, I'll note that it's kind of both, because there were also rumors that, well, it's not in my area. It may be in the city of Buffalo, but it's not in my area. And we also wanted to dispel that, but we also wanted people to realize it is everywhere, and maybe they don't have. You see the number for the city of Buffalo, 333, if I'm reading that correctly. The city of Buffalo also has 270,000 people. So they see that and they go, oh, there's only 333 people in a big city. But we wanted people to show it's all over the city of Buffalo. It's not just in one part of the city of Buffalo. Like the initial cases that were predominantly in the Delaware Council District or the North Council District. It's everywhere now. And so it's important that we think people just have an understanding. Other counties have released by zip code. There's nothing that prohibits us from HIPAA because this is such large aggregate data. If we were to release by street or district, census block district, that's a whole different story because you're getting so small down to street level and just portions of streets that you potentially could identify individuals. But we will be releasing the zip code data later today and then have the map updated as of Monday. It appears we have Steve Brown from WGRZ. Steven?
Yes, Yeah, can you hear me, Mark?
I can.
All right, terrific. I need a clarification on the recovered numbers. I presume that means that those folks had tested positive at some point. Also,
yes.
You mentioned frequently, thank you. You mentioned frequently that you've had conversations with colleagues, counterparts in other counties. I'm curious to know if some of those conversations involve counties that have had the ability to test more robustly than Erie County, and if you can, to any extent, explain the disparity between your county, Monroe, and Onondaga and Albany.
Well, Albany is an easy one because they're right where the Wadsworth lab is. So the county itself is not doing the testing. New York State was. And when you have the state lab in your own county, same thing with Saratoga. They were utilizing the state lab, and they also had cases earlier. We were doing the first cases for Monroe. Now there's actually some cases that are being done in Erie County that are being farmed out to the University of Rochester. But we were doing the, we pretty much, I don't know how many cases did we do for Monroe initially, but it was, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it was all their cases at one time.
It may have been like 100 cases that their first, or at least not cases, but their first tests were all coming through our lab. Onondaga, I can't say. I did have a conversation last night with other county officials, and it sounds really bad down on Long Island in New York City, to the point where one of the health officials from Nassau County was saying it's the worst day ever. They don't have enough morgue space, and people, I've had to make a decision on where we're going to put the first refrigerated container for excess bodies. Not necessarily a great decision, but I had to make that decision. We're looking at things that no one ever thought, if we get so bad, that we might convert a hockey rink. And that was the recommendation down for our friends in Nassau and Suffolk, is we take a local hockey rink, adjust the refrigeration so it's not freezing or below freezing, if that they got overrun with bodies, so that you could put the bodies in a safe location that could be guarded. And of course, a lot of communities have municipal hockey rinks, ice rinks. Are these the communications I was going to have with county officials I thought I was going to have like 2 months ago or a month ago? No, we were all worried about the state budget. And it's a different world.
And Steve, can I just point out that if we feel confident that we are testing the people that need to be tested. So the test results will tell you that at that point in time when the specimen was collected, if you are infected with COVID-19. And so we test people where we need to take action. So we test healthcare workers and other essential employees to remove them from the workplace if they're positive, to make sure they don't infect their other co-workers who are also essential workers, because we have to keep those people in the workforce. So we're testing people because we're going to do something with results. Right now, there is no treatment for COVID-19. Once we have treatment for COVID-19, we will be very aggressive about testing as many people as we can that are symptomatic. However, right now, there is no treatment. So if somebody is not an essential employee, there's really nothing we will do with that test result. Everybody in the hospital, that all patients admitted who possibly have COVID-19, they're being tested by the hospital because they need to know whether they can wear the appropriate PPE or not, and whether they need to be in isolation. So again, everybody now who is being tested because we need to do something based on their test results. For those individuals who are out in the community and they, they're not an essential employee and they're not hospitalized in the hospital, since there is no treatment, there is nothing else we would do with that information. We're recommending that everybody who has symptoms would stay in isolation regardless of what they're tested for. And we were also recommending that everybody who feels well, that they may have COVID-19, even though they don't have any symptoms. So we're recommending that everybody remain in kind of a quarantine situation and try to avoid other people in the community. And so that's what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy. That's what we need to do to keep the curve down. We know that it's growing, and we can measure our community burden by looking at our hospital admissions, our ICU admissions, and the number of people who are on ventilators, because that's the denominator there is the general population. And so we are able to track what we feel is the trends with the number of cases in our community by looking at those data. So we are doing everything we can to keep our community healthy, and we need the public to do everything they can, because we are just right at the beginning of our curve. And we, if we don't, you know, keep doing this social distancing and hand washing, and you know, everything else that's recommended, then we're going to be in a bad place. But we're trying to keep that number down, you know, keep it below what the capacity is for our hospitals, and that's going to mean extending the time period that we have to do this for. But we're doing everything we can right now, including with testing.
Dave Graber, are you still on the line?
I am. Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, very good. Apologies. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. And apologies also if you had partially answered this before. You had said previously that while none of the people who are currently on ventilators, they're not getting their ventilators taken away to be moved downstate. What about the ventilators that are being unused among the hospitals in Erie County? Will those or have those already been sent downstate?
No, they haven't been sent downstate. In my understanding, ventilators are in hospital rooms for patients right now. And I expressed to the governor's staff, I've not talked to the governor about it, though I'm pretty certain he's hearing it from across New York State, because county executives, state assembly persons, as well as senators, other county officials have all said the same thing. We need our materials for here. My understanding is the Javits Center, which was to be opened, is if it has opened, it's only like one or two, and they still have ventilators available in New York City. It's not like they've used up every ventilator in New York City. I know the governor is very concerned about what could be the exponential growth in New York City over the next 3 to 4 weeks as they get closer to their peak. But we're not going to, I don't see or foresee any way in which a ventilator is going to leave a hospital here when we're using them. If they were just sitting
what
there doing nothing,
that
well, that's the thing, is they're being moved from patient to patient. Why would you take a ventilator away? Let's say a patient no longer needs it, but another one does. Why would you take that and put it on a truck so it could get driven 8 to 10 hours to New York City when you have another patient down the hall who can use it? It makes no sense. Perhaps there's a stockload of ventilators in the Albany area that the governor's aware of, and that's why he said that. But it's not like there's a stockpile of ventilators in Western New York that is going to be unused or is not being used at this point, because we have a legitimate COVID-19 outbreak here. And we see increases in the hospitalization, the ICU, and the airway assisted numbers. They've gone up every day. They have not gone down. And I am concerned about that. We have not seen incredible growth, which is what we're all happy about. We're very happy about that. We're not seeing doubling of those numbers on a daily basis, because that would be really bad. We have, in my understanding, over 1,000 general hospital beds still available for the general population. And I think there's a little over 200 ICU beds that are still available among all ICU beds in Erie County. But more and more of these ICU beds that are available are being used by individuals who are COVID-19 positive. It's not just the individual who had major surgery or the individual who was in a car crash. Thankfully, we've actually seen reductions in car crashes because not as many people are on the road. The governor has a lot of power. By the statute that was passed by the Assembly and the Senate about a month ago, the governor has extreme powers, to the point where he signed an executive order prohibiting any other executive to pass an executive order in New York State that affects the public without the approval of the New York State Department of Health and the governor's office. I just don't see any logical way that they're going to be coming here and taking ventilators when we're using them. And there's going to be continued need.
Very good. Thank you.
Ethan Powers from B News.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much for taking my call. Hope all is well. With the CDC's new recommendations that all Americans should be, you know, considering wearing masks at this point, even those without symptoms, paradoxically, we know how severe the shortage is currently for those on the front lines. Do you have any ideas as to where county residents should be looking to obtain those masks?
I don't. we have a supply in county government. We actually have a stockpile of masks, these types of masks, the N95s. We have a limited supply, and we've been sharing those with hospitals. These are not N95. And I just want to talk about this briefly because we keep on getting contacts from individuals who say, hey, I've got a contact who's got a friend who's in China, and they can get you N95 masks. I'm like, oh, really? Can you send us the information? And then we get a picture of this, which is not an N95 mask. There's a lot of things that are going on out there, including scams or people who are trying legitimately to help out and don't know any better. I cannot say to the public that there's a location where you're going to be able to get even these procedural masks. We have it for our staff. We've provided for our staff. We are wearing these in the Rath building, except when we're in our own independent offices or around people that we've been intently in with, like the doctor and I. Even today, I was in her office talking, and I had the mask on, and she had her mask on. But to the general public, if you're not going anywhere, you don't need a mask. If you're going to the supermarket, it might make sense to wear a mask if you can get one, but I cannot say where people could get one.
Oh, actually, CDC has some information about masks on their website, and so if you go to their website, www.cdc.gov, and type in masks in their search engine, you will go to their page, and they have suggestions about how to be innovative about masks. So we know that there's a shortage of masks out there to purchase in the stores. People can make their own masks, and you know, if you make it out of fabric, you want to make sure that you try to make it so it'll have as tight a seal as it can over your nose and your mouth, because remember, you want to try to protect like any airflow from coming in, and of course it has to be some breathable, and you want to also make sure that if it's made out of fabric that you wash it at least once a day, because remember, the fabric is going to it picks up lint, it also picks up bacteria and viruses, so you want to make sure that you keep that wash. And then again, there can be, you can put like a scarf or a bandana over your nose and your mouth. I mean, again, it's harm reduction, so it's not going to completely eliminate your risk of exposure. However, it will create another barrier between you and potential viruses and bacteria. So, again, there, you can be innovative and go on CDC's website and, you know, look at some possibilities and some ideas about how to protect your nose and your mouth from the general outdoors.
And speaking of general outdoors, we've had a lot of questions continually about, is it safe to go outdoors? And as long as you're staying with the group that you've been around in your home, it is safe. If you start congregating with others, it's not. So if you want to go for a walk, and I've seen a lot of people going for walks the few times I'm out during the day, because usually I'm here. But I've seen a lot of people going for walks, and that's okay as long as you're with the people that you love and you're home with. If you can't have an opportunity to go see the loved ones that you have because they're elsewhere, especially elderly, call them. Continue to connect with people. FaceTime them, however you may do it, Zoom meetings. Call and talk to the loved ones. We're still requesting that blood be donated. The Red Cross and Connect Life are accepting blood donations. There is no evidence that the coronavirus can be transmitted through blood donations. So please, they are in need of blood. Western New York has stepped up to the plate, and there's been a lot of donations in the last 10 days or so, but they still need more. Our food bank of Western New York and food pantries are running low on their stock and normal donations. They're okay at this moment, but I'm a little concerned of where we'll be 3-4 weeks from now. So if you can, make donations. Also volunteering. A lot of the volunteers at food pantries are over the age of 70, and of course, they've lost a lot of those volunteers because they're not going out smartly. If you've got some free time and you're younger, you might want to think about volunteering at a food pantry, helping out. It could also be delivering food where they're getting food pantry and food bank and the Meals on Wheels program where they're still delivering food. You generally will not come in contact with an individual while you're delivering. You will leave the food on their porch. You will make eye contact with them to make certain that they're getting the food, but then you will leave and you will not come in contact with that individual. There's still a lot of things that you can get out there and do. It's not the greatest time that we've ever experienced in our life. I will agree with that. But we need to get through this together, and that means also helping others out in need. With that, I'm going to just go around the questions one more time, starting with Channel 7. Are you complete? Dave Graber, Channel 4, are you fine?
I am curious about, with Easter coming up, if you are hearing any of the local churches that are trying to gather, that are maybe trying to move their services outdoors or something like that, and if there are any messages, obviously, for the danger of those gatherings.
The answer is yes, I have heard that, and my response is no, don't hold them. I know it's the most holiest day on the Christian calendar, but we can't have you do that. I had one local faith-based leader ask me, would it be okay if he had people come to his church and he handed out palms for Palm Sunday, and the answer is no. Just that's connection, and one person could come up and grab a palm from you, and then you get it, and then you pass it on to everyone else afterwards, potentially. So we are telling our faith-based leaders it is not safe to congregate, whether it's inside or outside. And we're just hoping that people will continue to do what others have been doing, which is doing tele services online. I know it's a very, very important time of season on number of calendars, religious calendars. I think we need to get through this all as best as we can, and having services at this time would only put more people at risk. Steve Brown, any more questions, Steve?
Yeah, I just need to follow up. Please understand, you've been very clear about what you're doing with the limited testing that you have and who gets it and why you're doing it. My question specifically is, because people keep asking this specific question, why is it that Monroe County tests way more than Erie County? Is there something in their infrastructure? Is there a supply chain that they have that we don't? Is there any knowledge that you have that you can share that would answer the question I keep getting over and over from viewers about why the disparity? Monroe's smaller, they're testing more than we are, and we're larger. Is there something unique about Monroe County that allows them to test more?
Well, first off, they do not have a public health lab. As we said, we did their first 100 tests at least. And we do know that one of the first confirmed cases that came out of Monroe was a lunch lady. And so they tested a lot of students and a lot of other workers in that school, not only but through Erie County, but through the Wadsworth Public Health Lab. They do have two other labs that are working currently in Monroe County, the University of Rochester and Strong Memorial?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Strong Memorial Hospital. And both of those sites were actually active and approved to do testing before Kaleida and ECMC and the Catholics and Roswell Park were. They got it first. I don't know why. I was been advocating since this really kicked off that we have increased testing capability. I wish we did early on. Right now, I think we're comparable in what we're being able to do per day between all the labs and the other counties, but it did not start out that way. Am I happy about it? No, of course not. And I think the people in New York State are sick of hearing me have this conversation. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul and I had this conversation again today, and she's working very hard to find additional ways to get more testing kits as well as more testing availability for us. I know she's working hard, and we're working hard. It started a lot slower than we would have liked. I think now we're going to be comparable, and I expect by next week we're going to have much more testing capability. But did it start like I wanted, and was it this what I would have preferred? Of course not. Spectrum News, any more questions?
No.
Okay. Buffalo News at all? Anyone on? Mike Baggerman, BEN.
Hey, Mark, I just want a clarification on something you said earlier. Did you say that Erie County is going to be bringing in bodies from outside the area to use at local, or to put at local ice rinks? I just want a clarification on what's happening specifically with that.
No, I did not say that. I said that they're thinking out of the box downstate, and we might even have to do it here if the body count gets so high, we'd have to use potentially an ice rink as a temporary morgue. But we will not be accepting bodies from outside the area. I know it's pretty bad down there. Their crematoriums are running 24 hours straight, and I don't even know if they can still keep up with what's happening down there. But no, I don't believe I said that or implied that. But the conference call last night with county officials was what other resources could we use other than refrigerated containers or trucks. The only other thought was use a large facility that can be refrigerated, and an ice rink can be refrigerated. Normally it's kept at a temperature below freezing. You certainly wouldn't want to do that if you had bodies in there, but they could adjust the temperature and make it such that it was just one big refrigerator. I hope we don't get to that spot here, but we are thinking ahead if it gets so bad that that is a possibility. And I'm fearful our friends in Nassau, Suffolk, and New York City may actually have to start implementing that in very soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.